You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the monk who sold his Ferrari. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, a fable about fulfilling your dreams and reaching your destiny by Robin Sharma. We'll start with a quote from Robin. He says, quote, "From tonight onwards, take complete control of your life. Decide once and for all to be the master of your fate. Run your own race, discover your calling, and you will start to experience the ecstasy of an inspired life." And that's Robin Sharma from The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. So Robin Sharma is one of the world's leading leadership experts, right up there with Jack Welch and Tom Peters. In fact, he was recently recognized as the number two leadership guru in the world. He also happens to be a great author and a super cool guy. When I was running Zods, our companies did some work together, and I got a copy of his book, The Greatness Guide. Absolutely amazing. I loved it so much, I had autographed copies sent to everyone on our team immediately. Several months later, Robin and I connected in Los Angeles, and our breakfast turned into me driving him to the airport to continue our chat, and after about four or five loops around LAX buying some time before his flight, I finally had to send him off with an, oh my God, I just met a soul brother kind of hug. I love it when that happens. In this note, we're going to take a quick look at another one of his great books, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, which might just be the best title ever. It's a great, quick-reading fable that lives up to its subtitle of being about, quote, fulfilling your dreams and reaching your destiny. I like to say about this book, think The Alchemist with yogi attorneys rather than a shepherd. In fact, Paulo Coelho, another one of my favorite authors and the author of The Alchemist, of course, said this about the book. It's a, quote, captivating story that teaches as it delights. The book is packed with big ideas, and in this note, I'll only be able to profile a handful of my favorites, so if it's resonating with you, I highly recommend you pick it up and enjoy it as an inspiring, life-changing weekend read. And while you're at it, get The Greatness Guide, too. You gotta trust me on that one. It's that good. All right, so here's a quick context. The book features Julian Mantle, a former rock star attorney who has a heart attack in the courtroom one day and decides to sell his Ferrari and get his spirituality on. He comes back from the Himalayas a totally new man and shares his wisdom with his protege, John, who tells us the story. So the first big idea is the seven timeless virtues of enlightened living. The fable is based around these seven timeless virtues of enlightened living. Number one, master your mind. Number two, follow your purpose. Number three, practice Kaizen, which is a Japanese concept for constant and never-ending improvement. Number four, live with discipline. Number five, respect your time. Number six, selflessly serve others. Number seven, embrace the present. So each of the chapters articulates big ideas from each of those seven principles. We're going to jump around and just pick out my favorite big ideas, starting with invest in yourself. Quote, 672 hours of inner work to profoundly improve every waking moment of the rest of your life is quite a bargain, don't you think? Investing in yourself is the best investment you will ever make. It will not only improve your life, it will improve the lives of all those around you. End quote. That's brilliant. So invest 1 month to truly live the ideals you're studying, 672 hours to affect the rest of your life and everyone in it. Seems like a great investment to me. How about you? So that begs the question, to what do you need to commit a month? Is it getting up early, making time for your kids, making time for yourself in the morning, a meditation practice, working out, or maybe all of the above? Now, you might be saying something along the lines of, where will I find the 15 to 30 minutes for meditation, the 30 to 60 minutes for exercise, the time for journaling, for scheduling my priorities into my days? Robin likes to say that suggesting you're too busy to slow down and invest in yourself is kind of like saying you're too busy driving to stop for gas. It makes no sense. Of course, your car needs to be refilled with gas, and you need to refill your soul with mojo. So commit to living your ideals. Just 1 month and rock it. All right, the next big idea is blueprinting, one of my favorites. Robin says, quote, "All I'm saying is that to liberate the potential of your mind, body, and soul, you must first expand your imagination. You see, things are always created twice, first in the workshop of the mind, and then, and only then, in reality. I call this process blueprinting, because anything you create in your outer world began as a simple blueprint in your inner world." End quote. Blueprinting. I absolutely love that. Reminds me of Stephen Covey's habit number 2, begin with the end in mind, from his great book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. If you haven't read that, check it out. If you haven't checked out the notes, check those out. As Sharma says, everything is created twice, first in your mind, then in your reality. Think about it. That place you live in? Check. The computer you downloaded this on? The glass you drink your water from? And the toilet you pee in? Check, check, check. The challenge is that too often we spend all of our energy thinking about things we don't want, and then we spend all the spare time thinking about and blueprinting our vacation so we can escape the stress. Imagine gaining control of your mind, developing your imagination and ability to envision your ideal life, and blueprinting that into your consciousness, then into your journal, and then into your life. And then, of course, do it for at least a month, please. The next big idea is the secret of happiness. Quote, "All right, the secret of happiness is simple. Find out what you truly love to do and then direct all of your energy towards it." End quote. All right, so we're going to get right to the point on this one. What do you truly love? I have that in all caps in the note. What do you truly love? And what percent of your energy are you putting towards it? So in the note, I have a little underlining section here where you can write in your answers to the questions I truly love. If you're listening to this while running or driving or whatever, pause for a moment and think about what you truly love. And if you need to press pause and think about that. What do you truly love? All right. And how much of your time do you dedicate to doing what you truly love to do? Think about that. Is it 10%? Is it 100%? Is it 50%? What is it? All right? How's that looking for you? Do you know what you love to do? If you do know what you love, how much of your energy are you investing in it? You need to take more risks and give yourself more fully to the world? What can you start doing now to invest more energy where it needs to go? Remember Goethe, the great German philosopher who advised us, things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things that matter least. You can see my notes on the 80-20 principle for a full chat on that. What about Abraham Maslow? You can see the notes on his motivation and personality as well. He says, what you can be, you must be. And he also says, if you deliberately plan on being less than you are capable of being, then I warn you that you'll be unhappy for the rest of your life. Pretty powerful stuff. All right, so what about if you don't know what you love? Well, then discovering it is your primary job. Figure it out. Passionately and joyfully seek to discover your highest calling. Read, journal, meditate, contemplate, discuss ideas, take a sabbatical. Whatever you need to do, know thyself. Know who you are, what you love, what you're here to do. And of course, do it. All right, I have a little parenthetical here in the note. I say, by the way, if you like these notes, read them and actually do all of the exercises in them. So when you read them, if you read them, stop and write down your answers to the questions I ask. If you're listening to these, press pause and actually do the exercise in your mind, and ideally do them in your journal when you get back home or in front of a computer or whatever you use to document your thought processes. Right? If you do that, if you do all these exercises and all these notes, I guarantee you that by the time you're done, you'll be more on purpose and more excited about your life by a factor of 10 than you've ever been before, right? And if you're digging Robin Sharma, get his books, check out his website. That's robinsharma.com. Read all his blogs. He's got some awesome ones. And just go off. As Joseph Campbell says, quoting Ramakrishna, "Do not seek illumination unless you seek it as a man whose hair is on fire seeks a pond. This whole process requires a certain level of intensity if you want to create your ideal life. You got to snap out of the fog and really seek to push your light forward. Anyway, back to the note. So what will happen when you put all your energy into that which you love? Robin says, quote, "You will wake up every morning with a limitless reservoir of energy and enthusiasm. All your thoughts will be focused on your definite objective. You won't have time to waste time. Valuable mental power will, therefore, not be wasted on trifling thoughts. You will automatically erase the worry habit and become far more effective and productive. Interestingly, you will also have a deep sense of inner harmony, as if you are somehow being guided to realize your mission. It is a wonderful feeling." End quote. I can agree with that, and I'm sure you can attest as well that you felt the most alive when you woke up with a clear purpose. So get on that. Pretty please. Here's another great big idea. This one's Rise with the Sun. Here's a little dialogue between Julian and John. Julian, the guru, says, "Do you know why most people sleep so much?" John replies, "Why?" Julian says, "Because they really don't have anything else to do. Those who rise with the sun all have one thing in common." John says, "Insanity?" Julian replies, "Very funny. No, they all have a purpose that fans the flames of their potential." Love that. So a couple of things here. First, getting up with the sun rocks. I used to be the kind of guy who'd like to go to bed with the sun rising and think people who got up at the butt crack of dawn were insane. Not anymore. I didn't make rising with the sun an absolute commitment till I went on sabbatical in the jungles and rice paddies of Bali, where I'm currently recording this. Then I committed to aligning myself with perhaps the most powerful force and rhythm on our planet. That, of course, would be that little rhythm of our planet spinning, resulting in the sun rising and setting at a pretty regular schedule. I'll save the space here on another discussion on getting up with the sun and the rhythms and all that good stuff. We'll talk about that another time and simply tell you that my decision to beat the sun up every morning and then meditate for an hour has been, hands down, the best decision I've ever made. Way more clarity, consistency, and all that goodness than ever before. Which leads us to the second point. Are you living on purpose? When do you get up? Do you notice a correlation in your life such that those times when you're most on purpose, you almost spring out of bed in the morning with incredible energy that sustains itself throughout the day as you rock it? I've definitely seen that. So know this, if you're on purpose, you tend to naturally get up early. If you aren't that on purpose, but you get up early, you tend to get on purpose. There's something about the stillness of the morning hours that cleanses your soul and puts you in direct contact with your highest self. So my strong recommendation is rise with the sun. And start your days with a burst of inspiration that's just impossible to describe until you've felt it. If you're a former night owl, like me, you're probably going to need to give yourself a couple, maybe several weeks of adjusting before you really feel the mojo. But please trust me, it's amazing. So I will step off the soapbox, clear my throat, and step right back up. All right, to the next big idea, which is strengthen your mind. Quote, "Weak minds lead to weak actions. A strong, disciplined mind, which anyone can cultivate through daily practice, can achieve miracles. If you want to live life to the fullest, care for your thoughts as you would your most prized possessions. Work hard to remove all inner turbulence. The rewards will be abundant." End quote. Reminds me of James Allen's brilliant essay, As a Man Thinketh. You can see the notes on that one, where he says, quote, "As the physically weak man can make himself strong by careful and patient training, so the man of weak thoughts can make them strong by exercising himself in right thinking." So how's your mind? Is it strong or is it weak? Here's a quick test. Do you find yourself having the same negative thoughts again and again? If so, your mind is weak. Few things will give you a greater return than strengthening it, and few things will mire you in mediocrity and unhappiness than allowing your mind to stay weak. As the Buddha says, more than those who hate you, more than all your enemies, an undisciplined mind does greater harm. And Wayne Dyer tells us we should never let a negative sentence complete itself in our heads. Love that. So take your mind to the gym today and start removing the inner turbulence. Know that with disciplined practice, you can change your mind. And may I suggest you start by removing all criticism of yourself and others, complaining, blaming, and gossip. Commit to noticing the thoughts you have, and, as Robin so brilliantly says, care for your thoughts as you would your most prized possessions. Work hard to remove all inner turbulence. The rewards will be abundant. And the next big idea is mantras. Free your mind. Quote, in Sanskrit, man means mind, and tra means freeing. So a mantra is a phrase which is designed to free the mind. They, mantras, are my faithful companions wherever I go. Whenever I'm on the bus, walking to the library, or watching the world go by in a park, I am constantly affirming all that is good in my world through mantras. End quote. So used as a tool for rewiring our consciousness for thousands of years, mantras, whether spoken silently in our heads or out loud, or written as affirmations on our mirrors or in our journals, are super powerful. What are your favorite mantras? Are you using them often? Some of mine, from Louise Hay, she says, I love and accept myself completely. I release all restrictions. I'm free to be me. I've said those hundreds, thousands of times. Deepak Chopra has a great series here. He says, quote, I am totally independent of the good or bad opinion of others. I am beneath no one. I fearlessly handle any and all challenges in my life. So there you go again. I am totally independent of the good or bad opinion of others. I am beneath no one. I fearlessly handle any and all challenges in my life. And the classically simple, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Say those thousands of times and let me know how you're feeling. I've literally said each of those thousands of times. And as Robin said in the quote, you know, when you're walking to the library or on the bus or driving to work or whatever you're doing, taking a shower, silently say these mantras to yourself. Affirm the good in your world. It's amazing what it does to dissolve the negative patterns you have in your consciousness. Robin says again, quote, written affirmations are also very effective, but I have found that repeating a mantra aloud has a wonderful effect on my spirit. When I need to feel motivated, I might repeat, I am inspired, disciplined, and energized, out loud 200 or 300 times. To maintain the sense of self-confidence I have cultivated, I repeat, I am strong, able, and calm. I even use mantras to keep me youthful and vital. End quote. Again, mantras rock. Use them as tools to free your mind. The next big idea is you're a genius. Quote, every single person on the planet is a genius. End quote. It gives me a huge smile, and it reminds me of Paulo Coelho's comment, I learned the most important lesson of my life, that the extraordinary is not the birthright of a chosen and privileged few, but of all people, even the humblest. That is my one certainty. We are all the manifestation of the divinity of God. End quote. So, my friend, I ask you, what is your higher purpose? What strengths are you blessed with and destined to give to the world? Brings us to the next great big idea, greatness. It's your birthright. Quote, push yourself to do more and to experience more. Harness your energy to start expanding your dreams. Yes, expand your dreams. Don't accept a life of mediocrity when you hold such infinite potential within the fortress of your mind. Dare to tap into your greatness. It's your birthright. And Robin continues, act as if failure is impossible. And your success will be assured. Wipe out every thought of not achieving your objectives, whether they are material or spiritual. Be brave. Set no limits on the workings of your imagination. Never be a prisoner of your past. Become the architect of your future. You will never be the same. End quote. All I have to say there is what he said. All right, the final big idea here is your blip on the canvas. Julian says, quote, you will see your life for what it really is, a small blip on the canvas of eternity. and you will come to see clearly who you are and the ultimate purpose of your life. And John says, which is? Julian replies, to serve, of course. End quote. That's genius. Ultimately, the meaning of life is to joyfully shine our light and give our greatest strengths in the greatest service to the world, eh? So here's to creating a gorgeous little blip on the canvas of eternity, glowing with the radiance of honoring our ultimate purpose in life. That is the note. I will now share a little bit about Robin Sharma, the author of The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, and then go through some of the quotes on the sidebar. We will call it a note. So Robin Sharma is one of the world's most widely read authors. His books on leadership and personal development have been published in over 60 languages and have helped millions of people succeed. The founder of Sharma Leadership International Incorporated, a globally respected training firm used by organizations such as Microsoft, GE, IBM, FedEx, the Harvard Business School, Nike, and Yale University to help employees perform at their best. Robin holds 2 law degrees, including a master's of law. That's from robinsharma.com, where you can learn more, sign up for Robin's newsletter, read his blogs, watch his vlogs, and check out a lot of amazing stuff to learn how to lead without title. So let's go through some of these quotes on the sidebar. These are from Robin Sharma. Today is the day to seize the moment and live a life that soars. Today is the day to live from your imagination and harvest your dreams. He also says, meditate on what your true calling is and how you can give yourself to others. How about, we all have something that we are meant to do. Your genius will shine through and happiness will fill your life the instant you discover your higher purpose and then direct all your energies towards it. You are what you think about all day long. These are all from Robin. Understand once and for all that your mind has magnetic power to attract all that you desire into your life. If there is lack in your life, it is because there is lack in your thoughts. You have now learned that the mind is like a fertile garden, and for it to flourish, you must nurture it daily. Never let the weeds of impure thought and action take the garden of your mind. Stand guard at the gateway of your mind. Keep it healthy and strong. It will work miracles in your life if you will only let it. More from Robin. Remember, either you control your mind or your mind controls you. Fatigue dominates the lives of those who are living without direction and dreams. When you consistently direct your mind to live in the present, you will always have boundless energy, no matter what time the clock reflects. Never forget that there is power in silence and stillness. Stillness is the stepping stone to connecting with the universal source of intelligence that throbs through every living thing. More from Robin. He says, never do anything because you have to. The only reason to do something is because you want to and because you know it is the right thing for you to do. Never forget the importance of living with unbridled exhilaration. And from William James, most people live, whether physically, intellectually, or morally, in a very restricted circle of their potential being. We all have reservoirs of life to draw upon, which we do not dream. And Epictetus says, no man is free who is not a master of himself. Confucius says, good people strengthen themselves endlessly. A couple more from Robin. When you run inspiring, imaginative pictures through the movie screen of your mind, wonderful things start to happen in your life. Einstein said that imagination is more important than knowledge. You must spend some time every day, even if it is just a few minutes, in the practice of creative envisioning. See yourself as you want to be, whether this means serving as a great judge, a great father, or a great citizen of your community. And finally, the purpose of life is a life of purpose. It's brilliant. So there you go. Quick look at some of my favorite big ideas and quotes from Robin Sharma's The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. I think you'd love the book. Recommend you go out, pick it up enjoy it over the weekend, get inspired, and I look forward to sharing the next note with you. Trust you're doing great. Appreciate your support, and have an awesome day.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.